Okay, this is interview five. Leon Sverdlov.
I had mentioned before that I joined the National Guard.
Yes.
With the idea of, just in case they were used against workers, that somebody would be there to try to do something about it from the inside. However, the Communist Party at that time, not only that we went into the National Guard, but we had what we called outside units, whose job it was to propagandize. Once a month or so, they'd hand out a leaflet of general, you know, socialist bent type of thing, and giving the history of the National Guard and how it was used against workers, and we hope that you won't if you're called, blah, blah, whatever. So that Seema, who lived in Brooklyn, and I was living in Manhattan at that time, Seema was in one of the outside units who used to distribute the leaflets, but she was distributing to armories in Brooklyn. However, in order to keep everybody up to snuff, I was delegated to speak to the outside units and give them a little more in-depth why we were doing this anti-militarist work, etc., etc. So I went to a outside unit in Brooklyn where I lectured them on, you know, whatever the knowledge they should know, so they had a better understanding of what they were doing. Seema was one of my students. She married the professor. I met her. She was, I think, 19 that time.
How old were you?
I was 6 or 7 years older than Seema that time, yeah.
You were robbing the cradle.
Right, I really was robbing. But she was a nice gal. Very nice family. They all came from Poland. And the disaster in their family, they lost 32 people in the Holocaust. But that's the story of how I met Seema.
Do you have, we're talking about the devastation of learning the betrayal of Stalin to what pure communism was.
Right.
And it was a betrayal, of course. He was far from a communist. He was a dictator. He was a fascist. I think it was devastating to my father-in-law. I was not there at the time, but the way Jane talks about it, I certainly can hear it in your experience.
The compensating factor, now that I can sort of like review it more calmly, is that what I actually did, regardless of what I said or believed, was all positive.
Yeah, because there was a positive approach to
the socialism. I put my ass on the line for many things. I was in demonstrations, I got beat up carrying signs for Social Security.
Oh my gosh. Way back in the...
Or we demand unemployment insurance. And I would argue with workers who were flat broke and tell them that unemployment, they said, you're crazy. There'll never be a day when people will get money and without working for it. Couldn't even get into their minds the idea of a government responsibility for people. And I learned that the hard way.
And Social Security comes in under FDR.
Right. Everything.
Social Security, unemployment
insurance, you name it. Eventually, you have Medicare. All that. That whole development. But now, unfortunately, if Bush, privatization of the, it doesn't sound like much. But I firmly believe this is the beginning to get rid of Social Security completely. I really believe that.
And the problem would be that there are people who do not know how to invest.
But I think that Bush is going to come a cropper on this one. Because the sentiment that I get all over, and even from what I'm reading in the papers, everybody says, leave it alone. First of all,
it's not broken, I know.
It's not true. He talks of bankruptcy we're talking 2042, and
those fictitious figures, like, because it's using a 1%.
The fact that we have to modernize it or reform, I'm all for doing anything. But this move, if his thing works out, you're going to take trillions out of that pot, because it won't be going in there; it'll be going to private. Then talk about a gap and benefit protection. It won't be there.
It won't be there. And it won't be there.
And the idea of the guys who are, you know, the lobbyists who are really breaking their asses on this is the brokerage firms and all. Do you know how much money they're going to have?
They're going to have these
trillions
and trillions.
Of which they get a cut.
Government has become so corrupted by the lobbyists. I mean, thank God we have a government that at least at some point exposes most things. But
it takes a long time, but
takes a long time.
You get there, but it's
keep talking.
All right. Keegan was loaded with rats.
Colony. Yeah, I actually went to a camp as a kid called Camp Mohegan, a children's camp.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if it was associated with
I think it was a Linka camp, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a good chance.
There was another camp that I went to called Followers of the Trail, Buchanan, New York, which is not too far from here, where they had the atomic plant.
Now, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
But I remember to get, and then, of course, Hopewell Junction, New York.
Yes.
Not far from here, was Camp Unity. That was the communist camp.
Oh, my gosh.
That was there. And then there was associated with that camp for children, Kinderland, which was a left-wing children's camp, which still exists, by the way.
Still exists. Gosh, there was one cute story I remember hearing. This woman was raised in one of these socialist camps where everybody ran around. They all the boys and girls slept together. They all saw each other naked, running around showers.
Yeah.
And nobody, you know, it didn't bother anybody, because that's just the way the camp was. So whoever was interviewing her said, so, you know, how did it affect you? She says, it didn't affect us, because we didn't know that this was not normal. That was normal.
Yeah.
Very funny. Oh, gosh. Hey, what about some photographs of your parents? Okay, Leon's going to talk about how his mother, Eva, met, and Zelig, his father, met. They met, and you met your wife in a political movement, and met.
So did my father. He was a Bundist. And at one of the Bundist meetings that he attended, he saw this pretty girl called Eva, whom he encouraged and later on became my mother.
Now, you know, this is an interesting picture for another reason. You go off to Canada somewhere around the time of this picture.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're figuring that this is taken either... Yeah, this is before they went to Canada.
Is there such a street for a visit?
Harry went to Montreal.
Yeah, because for many years, we used to go up to the Adirondacks for our summer vacations to a place called Severance, New York. It's on Schoon Lake.
Oh, actually, I think I picked up the address from the telephone books when you got your telephone number,
right.
I guess, during the summer.
We owned the house for... about 7 or 8 years, bought a house for ourselves, that is this family, up in Schoon Lake. And we would go to the beach at a lake that's near a smaller lake, where my brother, when this was back in the 40s, when I was in the Army, he was a diabetic, so he would have been in the service too. He wanted to go in, wouldn't take him to find out. But he was looking for a place for the summer. They had just become school teachers. Oh, yeah, and another interesting side story, remind me. At that time, they both got jobs on the WPA. And the rule was only one member of a family can hold a job. So she had the job on WPA, and he had a job, so they couldn't be married. But they wanted to be married. What do you think they did? They went to Montreal and got married in Montreal. I had forgotten that.
Oh, that's a great story.
They got married in Montreal because either one of them would have lost the job if the government found out. But subsequent to that, they passed the tests and became school teachers, so they didn't have to worry about that.
Married in Montreal. Who would have ever thought?
And they, under the auspices of the Bernsteins, who, you know, took care of whatever arrangements were necessary. Because it was... you know, this is something that I probably wouldn't have thought of for another 10 years, but it strikes you.
Yeah, I mean, when I get you to talk, there are more and more things coming
out. I know that when I go and do these school things with the kids, that it helped because they jog the memory.
This is Sema. Yeah. Picture of gorgeous, gorgeous lady, Sema.
Reporting to Westover Field, and we're off to Japan. The war wasn't over.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So it was a happy, sad occasion.
Coming back from Europe, but expecting to be sent to Japan.
Thank God there's a but. We were in the middle of the ocean. It took us almost 11 days. We were on one of those
transports
that they had built during the war, you know. It was very comfortable. We had the whole outfit on there. And we were mid-ocean somewhere when our officers got us together. We were eating or something. They said the language was, we don't know a fucking thing about it, but it seems some kind of a bomb was dropped on Japan. Nobody knew what it was about. Then another guy says it was an atom bomb, and somebody asked, what is it? Who the hell knows? Nobody. We get home, of course, the bomb had been dropped, but nevertheless, I stayed home my 2 weeks, reported to Westover Field. We began to do preliminary reorganizing the outfit and all. And then, health got, they decided that we don't need you anymore. The time I enjoyed being fired, never. So I got back home. I had already been home 2 weeks with Sema, and I was going off to Japan. So this was, while I was home during the 2 weeks, I went up to visit my brother in the Adirondacks.
Oh my God, two little skinny kids there. And you must be the one with a little bit more muscle.
This is a picture in the Adirondacks at that time of Lori.
Oh, wow. Tell that story again. You're in basic training. The sergeant looks at Smirnoff. He can't pronounce it,
and he says Murphy.
And that's it. For the rest of basic training,
he became Murphy.
He became the sergeant. If they should stop the car and find out I'm walking around with this communist papers.
Oh, yeah, and overseas, when I was in the Army already, because I always, my trap was always yapping. This is, my title there was, they'd get into an argument about a political question, mm-hmm. and they'd say, let's go ask that red fuck, he knows.
The red knew, yeah, well read. Well read as well as red.
What I like is, somebody told me this word many years ago, because, as you know, my formal education ended in 1926. I never saw the inside of a classroom since. But I managed, I think, fairly well. So I remember one person at one time having a discussion with me and asking me about my schooling, and I said, you know, he said, so then you must be an autodidact.
An autodidact,
a self-taught. First I heard that, I always remember that.
Jane, if you're listening, you have to give me translations.
This one starts off with the theme of the affair was Copacabana night. So they had, what's her name, the one who wore the bananas and
all. Oh, yes. the Brazilian.
Yeah, right.
It's an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Yeah.
Miranda.
Miranda. Carmen Miranda.
Carmen Miranda.
Yeah. Because first they had all the doctors, and they told their stories. I'll fast forward it to where I get introduced. This is all the ones that were introduced. I think that when you do it, just fast forward it to my part. This is of no significance. This is an annual event for the hospital. It's of course a fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the other honoree,
yes,
the elderly woman.
I'll
fast forward it some more.
They could still.
My mother and father were having a real good time, and here I am. I'm young. I'm a volunteer at the hospital, and I've been working here as a volunteer for 5 years now. What I do here is make patient satisfaction calls.
You bring a little joy to the people.
This is my daughter.
And they bring a little joy to him as well.
Originally, going back many years, I was an apprentice diamond setter, and I worked in the jewelry trade as a diamond setter.
We live together. It's really a unit of five.
That's my two grandsons.
My boys who are now grown up, 19 and 20.
This is the whole family.
And my
That's
dad.
Eric.
It's always been that way. Since they were born. We've always really been together, so we have a very unusual, wonderful
situation. This is one of our cruises.
In that we are together at home and we're together at work also.
Volunteering is a tremendous factor in keeping up.
This is one of my theories.
Of the person that does the volunteering, because the days are very long. It takes so much time to read the New York Times. And then what do you do? And the possibility of getting a little depressed comes on the scene, so that volunteering for all volunteers is a two-way street. We help others, but in helping, we help ourselves.
Congratulations to our two.
She's my boss, volunteer. The volunteer lady. That's it. So that when you're ready, you fast forward to the part. You have some pictures of your daughter and your grandson and in-law and the grandchildren, and I'll scan them in.
Here's the whole family.
Oh.
Taken at that affair.
Oh, that's a nice one.
And this is my daughter and me.
Yeah. Ah, Abraham Lincoln Brigade by Landis. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's the whole...
Milt Wolf, I remember that.
Yeah, he was one of the commanders.
Doc Simon, that's my father-in-law. 352. 352.
Most of those are the stories are like repetition. It was picked, the that story was picked up by 35 newspapers. I have a list of all of them in the country, including the Manchester Guardian in London.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh really? Marched with Martin Luther King and Paul Robeson. Oh my God, Paul Robeson in Peekskill where the riot occurred. After.
I was there.
Oh my.
I was there both weeks. We came back the next week, you know.
I didn't realize that.
We came back the next week because we made such a hoo-ha, and this time, instead of the state troopers sending us down the gauntlet, I came back in a car that didn't have a window left in it. All scratched up from the glass. They told us, you know, when we were exiting the side road, and they were throwing boulders at us.
Oh, and this is the best.
And I was with Martin Luther King in Washington when he had made that I Had a Dream speech. Mm.
I mean, it is
really
tight.
Let me see how
it was.
Yeah.
I thought I could see the real amber. The amber, nope. That's the one where I got the diploma.
93? Took a little while.
That's how Leon finally got his diploma on Veterans Day. I am pleased to say that the rest of the family is either already gone through college or going to college, which I am very happy to know.
This is where we're, this is me at work at the homeless shelter.
Into World War II, Leon found himself in the U.S. Army. During the war, he earned several medals and citations, but he never earned his high school diploma. He's a great American, and I think that it certainly touched his heart, it touched my heart to be able to take part in such a great program.
So at least now, I have a high school diploma that I'll be able to prove my literacy to those who question it.
Now that he's a high school graduate, Leon is looking to get a college diploma to round out his collection. There's one thing to say. to go to one of his volunteer jobs.
That's right. I went to the hospital to work.
News 12 Western.
This is good.
Congratulations. Yeah,
wonderful.
For the college
graduation as well.
Hats off.
Leon,
okay. Fine,
I'll
take
another.
Okay.
That's wonderful. All right, so that's yours.
Sunglasses feel like you're stuck with.